Professor Jenkins. Kate, slow down. Professor Jenkins found something in that cave over there. What did you find? Drawings. On the walls. Two figures. What looks like a bunch of dolphins.
Dolphins? Are you sure?
I don't know what else they could be. Dolphins this far inland. How very, very strange. Let me grab my camera. My name is Gray. But not gray, like rocks or mountains. Gray. When you say it, swallow the H and pinch the back of your tongue. Gray, gray, gray. My name is Gray. And I'm in love. But our love is forbidden because he's not like us. He is other. And so I am in love and we are on the run. His tribe was just coming through. They never meant to stay. And so they were tolerated by my own tribe. Ours is so much larger, and we have been in the valley for so long, outsiders don't bother us, because bothering us is a fast death. Stealing away women from our tribe is also a fast death, even if we want to go with the others. We have been on the run for many moons now. I can count them with my growing belly that yawns before me as I waddle through the trees. Soon it will fall out of me. Sometimes we see them from up high on a mountain we've climbed. Three figures parting the green below, and we know then that we still aren't safe. Soon, I will not be able to move as quickly, and they will catch up to us. Tra was down at the wet earth that we drink with his tribe. I was getting some wet earth for myself right beside him. Didn't see him at all until I cupped my hands to drink. His reflection was in my hands, and I looked up, and then he showed me his teeth, but in a nice way. I couldn't stop looking at him, even though others saw me. His broad shoulders, so much broader than those of our penised ones. His strong, stocky build. We stared at each other with no words until he said, "Tra," looking directly into my eyeballs. I gestured to him that I did not understand. So many of the other tribes speak in tongues I do not understand, but Tra is smart. He had passed through the valley a few times before with his tribe as a child, and he had remembered words and phrases easily. "I be Tra." He was still showing me his teeth, and I don't know why, but I showed him mine as well, even though it made me feel like we were two idiots just staring at each other. "I be Gray," I said, not correcting him. I pointed towards the tribe that was building pits for the dancing flames. Tra gestured that he was part of their tribe. "Mine," he said, and then turned to face towards the caves and the rocks above the wet earth. "You," he pointed towards the caves. I toothed him, and he toothed me back. "Mine," I replied, and for a moment we looked at each other up and down, taking stock of our differences. I was taller than him, but he was twice as wide. His head was far larger than my own, his jaw very different. There was no way my tribe would accept him as my mate. Tra extended his finger, and I grabbed his hand, letting him touch the skin on my arm. Then I touched his arm. Our skins felt different. His felt thicker, more like an animal. I liked his hairy arms. I'm in a tree looking down, waiting for a meat young to pass beneath me so I can take it apart for dinner. We have been resting in a cave nearby. Tra is there, digging a dancing heat pit. Then it happens. I am almost caught. The arches of my feet are curled around a thin branch when I see my brother Kanu pass beneath me. If he looks up, I am the meat young for today. The branch feels brittle beneath me, like it might break off and hit Kanu in the top head. Flakes of bark peek out from beneath my toes, whip back and forth in the wind. Even though it doesn't make sense, I close my eyes, because if I see some of the tree bark fall below to alert Kanu, I don't want to know until it's too late. My eyes are closed for a long time. I worry that Tra will come looking for me. Eventually, the sun goes down, and I open my eyes to the night. It takes a long, long time for me to get down from the tree. I have to work my way around the branches and the trunk of it, as well as myself with my belly that is getting almost too big to hunt. It takes forever. By the time I get back to our cave, Dra has silenced the dancing heat and is waiting in a corner. I press against his barrel chest and he whispers, "See your father," into my ear, and "Make dark for peace." I squeeze him to let him know I understand. My father and my brothers are nearby, and we must not let them find us. Must not let a sound escape this cave if we want to survive. I'm not the first to leave with one of the other tribes. It had never ended well for the others or their suitors. They carry them back when they find them, the men, to deter other women in the camp from leaving with them. We are to stick to our own kind. The women are usually returned with the body, forced to march behind the limp body of their lover the entire way back. The longer you escape, the longer the march back home. No one I ever saw in the village made it as far as Tra and I. If they find us now, I will end myself before I watch them dangle Tra before me through all those mountains and woods and fields we ran through trying to find peace. Whenever I am scared, Tra whispers a story to me about a creature he saw once far away from here. The creature lives in a giant wet earth, way bigger than the wet earth by our caves, and it makes loud squealing sounds like a chorus of fluffy meat yums. He says that his father fell into the giant wet earth once and was rescued by the squealing creature, and that the creature carried his father to the sandy earth, and that the creature danced away and sang. The story makes me happy, but I don't believe it. To prove to me that it's real, Tra makes the creatures out of dirt on the walls of all the caves we sleep in. It doesn't matter if it's real. I like listening to the story, like watching him make the shapes on the walls, to know he knows I like his story, and so he tells it over and over again. We wait in the cave for a few suns, then keep going. We walk for many more suns. I trap a furry white meat yum with long ears, and its head's insides taste like delicious goo and fills our bellies. Eventually, I can no longer walk for very long because I have grown so big, and so we find a nice cave and will wait there until little Greh comes shooting out. Then we will walk to the big wet earth. Tra thinks that maybe the magic creature will help us escape my father. When I tell Tra that I think maybe my father has given up, he doesn't say anything for a while. Then he makes more shapes in our new cave, more of the magic creature dancing and singing by the sand, singing to us as we stand there waiting for it to help us. If my father doesn't give up, the magic creature may be our last hope. The new cave is nice. I am too slow to catch things to take apart, so we mostly collect things that hang from trees. I don't mind. Tra holds me when I fall asleep at night, hums notes into my ear to calm me. For a while we wait for little Greh, everything is good. Sometimes I wish we could just live in the cave we found. We will have little Greh, and we won't need the magical creature to save us. It can just be us three, and then four, maybe five if we want to. We could start our own little tribe. These are the thoughts I think as I fall asleep, but they are not the thoughts I have when I wake up. Little Greh is pushing and kicking her way out of me. The pain makes me blind, and it makes me deaf. I try not to cry out, but it's impossible. Tra tries to muffle my screams by holding me against his chest, but I kick him off of me. I can't breathe. When it's over, little Tra sleeps against my chest as we sit in the darkness of the entrance of our home. We sit and watch the woods below. The woods above and the fields that stretch out towards the mountain. Every time something moves in the dark, we both lean back, as if ducking from a buzz-buzz. But it's just the creatures in the trees. Eventually, we fall asleep. When I wake, little Greh is crying. A sound so piercing I have to cover my ears. Nothing can make her stop. She doesn't want to feed from me, no matter how hard I try. No matter what we do, she won't stop screaming. Tra starts to pace back and forth in the cave, clawing at his head, talking about the magical creature that will sing and make our little Greh quiet and happy. But while Tra is speaking of magic creatures, All I can think of are little grass screams echoing among the trees beneath the cave. And if my father doesn't find us, then something else will. The women in my valley never had this problem. They would pass the little ones around until it decided to take to the one he or she liked best. We pass little Greh between us, back and forth, but she doesn't seem to like either of us. It keeps getting worse, and for a moment I consider her screaming mouth with the palm of my hand. But it is just a moment, and when the moment ends, my father and brothers are standing in the entrance to our cave, and it's too late anyway. They say you should mate with the strongest, meanest man you can find, but I disagree. I like Tra because he isn't mean. He isn't mean in the slightest. He just wants me to be happy. After we met and made it down by the wet earth, we knew it was forever, no matter what that meant. My father picks up a rock and hits Tra from behind. He falls to the ground before I can warn him. Wet black leaks from his head and into the dirt of the cave. The dark reflections of my brothers dance on the cave walls as I move around the dancing heat to grab me. I wail for Tra to get up so we can run, but Tra groans just once and goes limp. Above him, all over the walls of the cave, countless magical creatures sing and dance for us as I jump into the dancing heat to be with him.